All right. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you today and we just ask, Lord, that you would take, as we've been walking through the Proverbs and looking at different themes, we pray, Lord, that you would take this set of scriptures here from Proverbs 6 and just help us to receive it, to know what to do with it in our own lives. And we just pray, Lord, that you would speak to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. So what kind of things do you hate? Somebody did a social media questionnaire and asked people what things they hated. And just because I hate disorder, I had to alphabetize them. but I'll share some of those, and I added a few to them also. Animal abuse was one response. Bad drivers, child abuse, clutter, the smell of dirty diapers, hypocrites, liver, politics, self-checkouts, snakes. Not everybody hates snakes. Tangled cords. That one got a big response. Telemarketers, wind, winter. There's all kinds of things, and probably hate is too strong of a word for a lot of that. Most of that is just stuff that annoys us. But there are things that you and I hate. And when you stop and think about it, it's because there are things that we really love. And if you really love something, you're probably going to hate the opposite of that. And so because of that, there are things that we love and there are things that we hate. There are also things that God says he hates. And the reason he hates some things is because he loves some other things. He loves people. All people. So because of that, he lists some things in Proverbs. And tells us that these are things that God simply hates. He doesn't want us doing these things because he loves people. He cares about them. So what are those things? He lists seven of them in this text, Proverbs chapter 6, 16 through 19. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Not just annoying. Things he hates and that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. Now that formula, 6-7 is similar to Amos's style in the Old Testament, the prophet who, for all the way through that book, says for three sins, for three transgressions, even for four. And it's just kind of a literary device used in the Hebrew Old Testament that stresses the seriousness of sin and punishment for sin. And so he's saying for these six things, even for seven, when you put them all together, you get a great idea of what God really hates. The first one of those is arrogant or haughty eyes. This is how we look at the people around us. And it's the perception of looking at the people around us and thinking that somehow we're more valuable than they are, or we're more important. And God says he doesn't like that. Pride is sometimes called the mother of all sins because it so often leads us to other sins. When we are arrogant and just full of pride about ourselves, then we think we can get by with things and mistreating other people. It might include just looking down on others, feeling superior and acting holier than thou, humiliating other people, or being guilty of doing the same things that you condemn in other people. Well, the question is, how do we kill pride in our life? How do we avoid haughtiness and haughty eyes? Richard Baxter says, we do it through service. as we serve other people, it takes us through a lot of little deaths that helps us to get beyond ourselves. And when we are out there and we're ministering to people that maybe at one time we thought we were better than they were, as we minister to them and serve them, that helps us become humble. A father giving up his desire to watch a show so that he can play with his children. All kinds of different ways that we can serve and find ways to humble ourselves and not be arrogant and think we're more important than those around us. The second thing that God says through Solomon here that he hates is a lying tongue. This is about how we communicate to other people. It's a verbal effort to knowingly and willingly deceive other people or lead them down a wrong path of what they think. We are tempted oftentimes to lie to make ourselves look better than we are. But there's all kinds of different ways that we might have a lying tongue. And the fact is, Jesus said in John chapter 8, verses 44, he said that the devil is the father of lies. And there is no more time than when you and I choose to tell a lie that we are being less like Jesus and more like Satan. And we have to be very careful. In our culture, here in America, lying is just second nature to us. We lie for any reason under the sun if we think it'll benefit us in some way. And God says he hates lying. He needs us to be the kind of people who will tell the truth even if it's going to hurt ourselves. He wants us to be truth tellers. Lies may include even dishonesty in business. Proverbs 11 verse 1 says, "The Lord detests dishonest scales, but accurate weights find favor with him," when we're conducting our business truthfully. Proverbs 20 verse 10 says, "Differing weights and differing measures, the Lord detests them both." He wants us to be honest with our tongues, honest in the way we do business. John Wesley said something that is just, you know, almost a mystery, but it tells you just how strongly he felt about telling the truth. He said, "I would not tell one lie to save the souls of all the world." That's an amazing statement when you stop and think about it. But that's just how strongly he felt about being a person who always told the truth. The third one is this: hands that shed innocent blood. This is about how we treat other people, and it's about hurting others. It can also be about cold-blooded murder, the sixth commandment of the Ten Commandments. It can be about the destruction of the justice system that encourages cold-blooded murder or offense that hurts other people. Proverbs 17, verse 15 says, "Acquitting the guilty and condemning the innocent, the Lord detests them both." Now, in our country, we are busy selling human parts for profit, murdering innocent babies in the womb. We promote it as a right and as a choice. But 52 million babies should be working today to pay your Social Security benefits, and they're not. And we wonder how come Social Security is not solvent. It's because we've done this to ourselves. We've murdered 52 million babies in America. And I'm not getting into politics because abortion is not a political issue. It's a moral issue. It's a life and death issue. God wants to know where the choice is for that little baby girl in the womb that he created and knitted together in the mother's womb. You know, today in America, if I destroy the egg of a bald eagle, I can be fined $250,000 and sent to prison for 5 years. But I can encourage my girlfriend to have an abortion And that's rewarded and encouraged. Sex trafficking, child trafficking, drug trafficking, all kinds of crime have just jumped up. They were bad before, but they really have jumped up the last couple of years because of the open borders and just all the things that we're allowing in. And God says he hates hands that shed innocent blood. We need to be a people who have nothing to do with shedding innocent blood. The fourth one is this: a heart that devises wicked schemes. And that's about how and what we plan for our lives and our resources. Thinking of or conceiving of evil against any individual or group of people for the benefit of other misguided objectives is what this is about. Just coming up with ideas how we can target people, how we can hurt people and groups of people. And we see this on the nightly news all the time. Just one group always targeting another group of people, always trying to get even. That God hates. A heart that devises wicked schemes against other groups of people. This is a plan to bring harm to others physically, spiritually, socially, mentally. Anyway, we have to be people that are better than that. God hates that in our culture. And then number five, he says, feet that are quick to rush into evil. And that's about moral reflexes. We studied in Scripture in Sunday school this morning, Romans chapter 7, and we just talked about that sin nature and all of that, and the fact that, you know, sin sometimes gets us to do, our sin nature leads us down a path that sometimes we don't even want to go in, and we still rush into that. And that's what God is talking about here, that we need to be in control of our sin nature and let God get in control of that sin nature. It's quickness to do what is wrong. It's to come go through life with no resistance to sin. God says, you know, there are times when you and I wrestle with sin, but then there are people that just, at the very thought of it, they just dash for it. They run for it, and God says he hates that. He hates it when we no longer have any resistance at all to sin. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 16 says, and he's talking about fools here, for their feet rush into evil. They are swift to shed blood. Proverbs 2:14, who delight in doing wrong. Fools delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil. And then Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7 says, do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord. Shun evil. Reject evil. Walk away from it. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 16 says, for they cannot rest until they do evil. They are robbed of sleep till they can make somebody stumble. That's really talking about just really intentionally just rushing to do evil there. Not being able to sleep because you're awake, daydreaming of ways to lead somebody else down a dark path. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13 says, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride, arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech. Number six, Solomon says, a false witness who pours out lies. Now, he's already talked about a lying tongue, but this is going a step further. It's being on a witness stand, and it's destroying somebody's reputation and character. It's influencing the perception of culture about somebody. It's making people believe negative stuff about others. But it's more than just lying. It's causing the consequences that follow with the destroyed reputation, maybe the loss of a job or jail or promotions or other punishments that come along. A false witness steals the character and the reputation of another person and just destroys it. And God says he hates that. Again, he hates these things because he loves people. Every one of us. And he wouldn't want any of these things done to any one of us. And so he doesn't want us to do any of these things to other people. The ninth of the Ten Commandments tells us not to bear false witness against our neighbor. So he's emphasizing that again. Out of Ten Commandments God gives us, he says, don't tell an untruth about someone else. Telling the truth is really important to God. The last thing, the seventh thing he mentions is a man who stirs up dissension among the brothers. Now, first of all, let me just keep it there. He says among the brothers. Have you ever been part of a church fight? He's not even talking about the world here. He's just talking about in church. He hates a person that just stirs up trouble in church. And I've been around long enough, I know that there are a few people out there that just love to go to church and cause trouble. Thankfully, I haven't run into any here. But there are those people that just love causing dissension and strife, and they just, if things are peaceful, they just got to go in and blow it up. They just, that's their mission in life. They're not happy until they can cause some strife and some conflict and all of that. And so what God is saying here is that we have to be careful how we influence people's relationships. It's causing division where there should be a united peace and working forward in things. Now, we are called, the scripture desires that we live at peace and in unity. There are times that sometimes that conflict arises because some people don't want to accept the will of God. And so they're going to fight if you try to go down that road of the will of God. But those who purposefully seek dissension, we need to know we're opposed to the will of God. Proverbs 20 verse 3 says, it is to one's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. Now, as we look at those seven things, first of all, we should be aware that every one of us has is a sinner in some manner, and we've disappointed God in some aspect of those seven things. But secondly, as we look at that, we should remember that there's a reason God hates those things, those seven things. And that is, we can infer that God loves the opposite of those things. God loves humility, and that is a whole different sermon. I'm not going to go there today. But he loves humble eyes, people that just are humble and willing to serve and willing to, you know, consider the person next to them as being important. You remember Philippians chapter 2, where Jesus, though he was from heaven, though he was God himself, he humbled himself and became obedient to even to death on a cross. God loves humility. Secondly, God loves the truth. He loves truth telling. He wants his people to always be people who can tell the truth, and even if it hurts them, be willing to tell the truth. Proverbs 12, verse 22 says, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy. Last night in our youth group, I had the lesson because Brian was on call this weekend. And so I talked to them about trust and trusting in the Lord. We use the trust fall illustration of falling back and having people behind you to catch you. And we talked about that, and we talked about the fact it's not wise to fall back if nobody's back there. But there are also some people that could go back there that you might not want to trust because of past experience. Or Or maybe it's their ability to catch you. They might have all the heart in the world. They might want to be able to catch me when I fall back, but they wouldn't have the ability. And so we talked about trust and the fact that every one of us needs to put our trust in God, because He really is the only one that can always carry us and catch us. But part of that God is saying here is that He wants us to be the kind of people that other people look at and they trust us. They know that we would catch them if they began to fall. I don't remember where I was. Oh, Proverbs 15:26. The Lord detests the thoughts of the wicked, but gracious words are pure in His sight. So truth-telling, truth with grace. The third thing that God loves then is hands that protect the innocent. There's always somebody around. If you look and keep your eyes open, there's always somebody who's innocent that needs some protection. I had a new student on my bus this week, and he's more of a challenged student, and he got on, and some of the other kids were right away making fun of his name. And I stepped right into that. I wasn't going to allow that. And it's just protecting the innocent. Fourth, God loves a heart that devises good plans, that looks forward and sees the potential of doing something good. John Wesley historically and famously said, "Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can." The fifth thing that God loves is feet that run to do good, that love righteousness. Proverbs 15, verses 8 and 9 says, "The Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked, but the prayer of the upright pleases Him. The Lord detests the way of the wicked, but He loves those who pursue righteousness." John Wesley wrote a sermon one time called "The Character of a Methodist," and he wrote in that sermon, he said, "The Christian does good unto all men, unto neighbor and strangers, friends and enemies, and at that in every possible kind, not only to their bodies by feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting those who are sick or in prison, but much more does He labor to do good to their souls." So God loves a person whose feet rush to do what is good. Sixthly, God loves a person who witnesses to the truth, regardless of the consequences to themselves. And seventhly, God loves a person who sows peace among the brothers. Lastly, Proverbs would tell us that God loves those who seek Him. And if we seek Him, we will find Him. Proverbs 8, verse 17 says, "I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me." And I would just remind you as we close out this morning, I still have some more messages to go through as we go through Proverbs, but as we close out this morning, I want to remind you that God deeply loves you. He loves those especially that love Him back, and I just want to encourage each one of you to make sure you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't, I want to visit with you. If you ask Jesus into your heart to forgive your sins, let me know that. Let me share with you. Let me help you grow in your walk with Him. Let's pray. Father God, we come before You today, and we hear all the time about a God who is love, and You are loving. There is no one who is more faithful and consistent and loving. You are the description of love. Sometimes we need to be reminded that because You deeply love us, there are some things You hate. There are some things that You hate when we do those things because it affects the people that You love. that you sent your Son to die for. So I pray, Father, today that you would help us to be people that represent you well. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be people that love the people that you love, all of them. And help us, Lord, to order our lives and our behavior according to that. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.